would like to welcome you. What an outpouring of support. On behalf of Dave, the Scoville family, the Fain family, it's just good to be able to say thank you for coming, showing your support. Take a minute, Dave, stand up and turn around. Look at everybody that's here. I don't even know if you know. He thought 5 people would come. The other day when we talked about the drive-through visitation, he said, maybe a few cars will come. And I said, no, in 2 hours and no breaks, maybe a couple-minute break. It just shows the support and the love that many have for Esther and for you and your family. That's the privilege of being a part of the body of Christ, isn't it? So thank you for your support. I will just say as a practical note, in getting set up and ready, I noticed a number of ant hills that would ruin your day. So just take a moment, make sure you're not standing near ants, because we want to make sure that doesn't become a problem. And the Lord has blessed with a beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So let's open in prayer. Lord Jesus, we want to accomplish at least 3 things in these minutes together. First, we want you to receive glory. So may that be a reality. You are so worthy to receive all the glory, and any good, anything of eternal value from the life of Esther Scoville, she would want, the family would want it just to be reflected and passed back to you, Lord Jesus. So receive glory through this time. Second, we want to honor Miss Esther and her life. We want to celebrate it. You say, Lord, in your word, how precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his holy ones. And we celebrate the life of a holy lady, a holy lady. Holy because of your righteousness, Jesus Christ, that you imparted to her through your death, through the blood sacrifice, and through her receiving that by faith. We celebrate a holy woman because of the great contribution to her family and the impact that will have, and the great contribution to a Dani tribe in Indonesia, and the great contribution to so many that have had the privilege of knowing her. Lord, she has reflected you and been a witness for you her entire life. She's a holy woman. And so we are thankful that we knew her. We are thankful that she's with you. We don't grieve without hope. And at this point, there's not even a lot of grief. It's more of a thank you for your mercy. But those days will come. And so that's the reason that I want to ask for a third reality of this time together, and that would be a time of closure and healing for the family and for close friends. So bathe us with your presence and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
The family has asked that we sing. The problem with that is we can't sing enough. We're out here in the wide open, and it will be perhaps difficult to sing with a great amount of enthusiasm as far as the noise goes, but in our hearts we ought to sing with great joy. These songs speak of the joy that Esther is in right now. And while Don said we do grieve, but we don't grieve without hope. We, and not hope, but surety of what is to come. So, with that in mind, would you please join me in singing? The words are on the bulletin. What a day that will be, and indeed, what a day this is. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Okay, I'm under orders to keep this all together. I'm not sure I'll make it through, but I will try. You need to know that my mom and dad, John and I, had some conversations about this point of our lives about 2 months ago, maybe, as we were kind of dealing with the reality of what my mother was facing. And I've never been good at saying goodbye. It's not something new. It's something that I had to do many times over my years. But this is what I believe my mother would say to us right now. When tomorrow starts without me, and I'm not there to see, if the sun should rise and find your eyes, all filled with tears for me, I wish so much you wouldn't cry the way you did today, while thinking of the many things we didn't get to say. I know how much you love me, as much as I love you, and each time that you think of me, I know you'll miss me too. But when tomorrow starts without me, please try to understand that an angel came and called my name and took me by the hand. She said my place was ready in heaven far above, and that I'd have to leave behind all those I dearly love. But as I turned to walk away, a tear fell from my eye. For all my life, I'd always thought I didn't want to die. I had so much to live for, so much yet to do. It seemed almost impossible that I was leaving you. I thought of all the yesterdays, the good ones and the bad. I thought of all the love we shared and all the fun we had. If I could relive yesterday, just even for a while. I'd say goodbye and kiss you and maybe see you smile. But then I'd fully realize that this could never be, for emptiness and memories would take the place of me. And when I thought of worldly things I might miss come tomorrow, I thought of you, and when I did, my heart was filled with sorrow. But when I walked through heaven's gates, I felt so much at home. When God looked down and smiled at me from his great golden throne, he said, "This is eternity, and everything I have promised you. Today your life on earth is past, But here it starts anew. I promise no tomorrow, but today will always last. And since each day's the same, there's no longing for the past. But you have been so faithful, so trusting and so true, though at times you did do things that you knew you shouldn't do. But you've been forgiven. And now at last you're free. So won't you take my hand and share my life with me? So when tomorrow starts without me, don't think we're far apart. For every time you think of me, I'm right here in your heart.
We are here to honor the homegoing of Grandpa's wife of 61 years, our mother, and David and I's grandmother, and some more people. As reminded in this collection of scriptures, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants.
Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, and we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to clothe instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident, for we live by faith, not by sight.
You will never know just how much it means to us to see you dear folks here. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for caring for Dave and Esther Scoville so well, for those of you who are at their Hope Church, as well as other friends who are coming from other places. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for what this means. You can rest assured that I am feeling very keenly the sacredness of these few minutes together. How in the world can you put into enough words or the right kinds of words that which would fully represent a life that was lived so very well? I'm not up to this, but that's okay. He is. Lord, have your way. It was A.W. Tozer who, just after World War II, would write this in his preface of The Knowledge of the Holy. He said, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us, the most portentous or important truth about any man or woman is not what they will say or do at any given time, but who they truly believe God to be within their deepest heart." I believe that Esther Scoville was a great woman of faith, a holy woman, as we've already heard Pastor Don say, because she truly knew her God. You know, as I was thinking about the life lessons that we could learn from her, and I'm only going to give a few, because there will be a memorial service later, but these are what came to mind as I've been reflecting on this the last few days. Friends, hers was a lifelong passion to know God, to know him truly for who he really is. You see, she knew the transforming truth that knowing God for who he really is changes everything. everything about us, everything about life, everything about legacy, everything about the future, everything that reality stands for as God created it. Hers was never a shallow faith, but a dynamic, ever-growing, conversational relationship with a God who was there. It was never theory. It was not some dry theology somewhere. It was a living, dynamic relationship. Colossians 1:9, we see that Paul is praying for the Colossians there. And he talks about the fact that as he prays for them, he yearns that they would know the knowledge of his will. He then goes on to put it this way. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Then he describes being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And this power that Esther Scoville lived by was a power that came from relationship, an intimacy with God in every way. She didn't just come by that by accident. Her parents were amazing people. I don't know if she ever had a chance to tell you about them, and we won't take long today, but George and May McCarahan were two of the most significant people I ever had the privilege of meeting. Her father lived to be 101 years old. He lived a life of integrity on every hand, taking his own father across from after he got black lung from Pennsylvania over to the prairies of Canada, staying with his father, taking care of him, buying a farm, taking care of that farm, even when the bottom dropped out of the stock market and these other things that led to them being underwater, paying off that debt, staying true to his calling to God and to his family, and then trusting God later in life to go to Bible school and to study there, and then from there to go to Cuba. And that's where Esther McCarahan got to see with her own eyes the truth of who this God was, lived out in her family year after year. And that led her to what? In that knowledge of God, she developed a lifelong passion to live a life of unquestioned obedience. You see, in all things I saw in my mother-in-law, she wanted to obey. And she didn't want to just obey because God told her to. She wanted to obey because she knew that intimacy with him would lead to a pathway of joy and freedom and contentment in all things. This was why she was such a wonderful life partner for Dave Scoville. He knew he could count on his S to always be at his side, even when the call on their lives meant inconvenience, danger, or difficulty. And yes, they knew all of those. Trust me, God did not keep her within her comfort zone. He constantly pushed her out to greater steps of obedience and faith, even to her dying breath. But in knowing God, she also caught his heart for the world. Mom Scoville, therefore, was compelled to live unselfishly, always seeking to serve others above herself. You know what I loved about her as much as anything? She was no respecter of persons. She loved people from all walks of life. She loved them from God's perspective. She loved the old, old story of the cross, the resurrection, redemption, and new life in Christ. With her husband and her beloved colleagues among the Donnies, she labored and prayed and wept and sacrificially endured. Why? So that the knowledge of God could penetrate the spiritual darkness of that remote mountain region, so that tens of thousands, even more than 100,000, would eventually come to Christ. Hers was more, though, than just intimacy with him. She understood the power of a life in Christ alone. Hers was the power of a resurrected life. When Christ said, "I am the resurrection and the life," in John 11, "He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die," she absolutely believed it. And she knew that his power was her power. It was in her weakness that God's strength was perfected. Yes, her weakness. You see, hers was not the strength of great exploits, explosive breakthroughs, or flashy, attention-grabbing talents. No, it was far more profound than that, far greater than that. She quietly and purposely was faithful in the mundane, unmatched in her memory for detail, constantly entering into other people's lives. Why? So that she could prevail in prayer for them. That's what she wanted. She asked penetrating questions of all those around her so that she could know them and bring them before God, because she knew that God's power would make up for any weakness that she had. You see, she understood that incomparably great power that Paul writes about in Ephesians 1, a power that was not hers, but Christ's. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, in Ephesians 3:16 and following, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is this incredible love of the living Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. That was Mom Scoville. She lived in that power. And her life, Esther Scoville's quiet life, stood out in stark contrast to the bluster and the empty rhetoric of the world all around her. You see, she was slow to speak, humble in spirit. She always spoke wise and discerning words that pointed others to Christ. Her faith, love, and unparalleled constancy in the midst of heart-rending, overwhelming grief was perhaps where she taught me the most. It was on a cold, snow and ice-covered day in late December, December 28th of 1983, that her beloved daughter and I and her beloved son were heading home from a wedding that we were in. I'm not telling this story to be emotional at all. I want you to see the power of the resurrected life lived out in a woman's heart and soul. On that icy road, we were sent into an oncoming truck, and her son was killed. Hardest words I ever heard that day. Certainly the hardest words his sister ever heard, and certainly the hardest words his parents ever heard, that he was gone. During that incredibly difficult time, Esther Scoville never once looked at me and blamed me as the driver of the car or wanted something from us. Never in her life, not until even her going to be with Christ last week, was anything like that ever said, even though some would argue that that was possible since I was at the wheel. No, hers was a life of absolute tenderness and forgiveness that was far more concerned about me at that time than she was even about her own grief. I believe that it's that kind of love, as we see in Esther Scoville, a love that cannot be described by the things of this world, a love that can only be found in the love of Christ through her, is what we need during these perilous times. You see, Esther Scoville constantly set her hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. She set her mind on things above and not on earthly things. And because of that, she lives. Oh, believe me, brothers and sisters, she lives. She lives beyond what we could even imagine. She lives in the beauty of being before the face of her Savior, who she adored so very deeply. And that brings me appropriately then to the last point. Hers was a posture of worship. She worshiped. She lived a life of worship. Not just words of worship, not just songs of worship, not just prayers of worship, but she loved him for who he was. She worshiped him in every way. Her life was worship. Her Jell-O at Thanksgiving was worship. And it was good. And so I just want to paint a picture as we close. I'm trying to keep it short so you folks don't faint in the sun. Just want to ask a question. Can you envision her on that distant shore right now? Esther Scoville? Can you see her with that entourage there on that distant shore? Hallelujah. With David next to her? With George and May on the other side? Can you see those Donnies who have life eternal forevermore because of a dear woman who dared to believe that the power of Christ was greater than her fears, who dared to trust him and move forward in believing faith. Can you see her this morning? Oh, I think it's more than just that we can envision with our eyes in terms of the humans that we have known. I tell you what I see. I see Gabriel, probably behind her with a whole host of angels, his sword up. No, I can't prove it biblically, and I won't try. But I wonder if he's not there right now with her with that entourage. And he looks across with his fellow angels, and he says, today a great warrior has fallen in Israel, and she has come home to be with us. And can you imagine the honor guard they gave as they stood? And I don't know if they beat their wings or clapped their hands or simply said, Esther, Esther, Esther. But I know this. I know that she is a worshiper who is with that great throng of worshipers now. And there are those around her there. Can I just read this quote that a friend sent me at the end of that first day? He said, with such a first glimpse of Jesus and a long-awaited reunion with David, surely all must be truly well on heaven's shore as Esther finishes this first eternal day in that eternal land. After this I looked, John writes, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, with some from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were carrying palm branches in their hands. And this incredible throng around that throne lifted up their voices with one, including Esther's, this day. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. I believe that's what she would want us to see today. Yes, a life well lived, but all for the glory of her King. So I close with this. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
There's one last thing I've got to say. We don't mourn as those without hope. My father's closing words to my sister, who now has Alzheimer's, told me back after this happened. He went up on one elbow. His final words were this. He looked at them and said, listen to me. And when my dad said, listen to me, people listened. It was kind of like that old E.F. Hutton commercial way back when some of us were young. People listened carefully. And they said, we all leaned in, John. And he said, he will take care of you. You can trust him. You can trust him. Perhaps his greatest sermon ever. We can trust him. So now let's commit our dear sister and mother and wife and friend and prayer warrior and warrior who fell in Israel just the other day. Let's commit her body, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, earth to earth, to the living God who is there. Our Father, we bow in worship with Esther and David, George and May, and Judy and the other friends who have gone before, Ron who is there with her, and others that these dear friends know. Father, we bow in worship because you are the God who has given us life, but we know that precious in your sight is the death of those who are your saints because their lives reflect your glory. And we've rarely seen anyone reflect your glory any more on this earth than Esther Scoville. We say thank you for a life well lived. And we commit her body to you, O Lord, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, earth to earth. And we thank you this morning, this incredibly beautiful morning, that you, the God who chose her from before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in your sight, are the God who now receives her. And we praise you that she is in good hands and that we can trust that it won't be long and we'll be with you as well. So I pray especially for my dear father-in-law and my beloved wife. and I pray that you would wrap your strong arms around them. I pray for her siblings who couldn't be with us here today, and I pray that you would show them the full extent of your love. I pray that you would be with all those who knew this dear lady, and I pray that our desire to know you and follow you would emulate her model to us. And I pray that we too would fall deeper in love with you and desire your glory as Esther did. In your precious name we pray.
This is not in the program, the written program, but it was in my heart. And I want to say just a few things in keeping with what has taken place so far. There's a song. You know, I'm interested in music, but that Dottie Rambo has written hundreds of songs. And one of the songs which she wrote really grabbed me. And I was playing it the other night, and I said, I gotta have that again. And the words are simply this: the holy hills of heaven are calling to mansions bright across the sea, where loved ones wait and crowns are given when the hills of home keep calling me. This house of flesh, I love this. This house of flesh is but a prison, bars of bone hold my soul, but the doors of clay are going to burst wide open when the angel sets my spirit free. I'll take my flight like a mighty eagle when the hills of home start calling me. I see loved ones over yonder. Tears are gone and hearts are free. And from the throne, King Jesus beckons. The hills of home are calling me. Then he repeats the chorus. This house of flesh is but a prison. Bars of bones hold my soul. But the doors of clay are going to open wide open, burst wide open when the angel sets me free. I'll take my flight like a mighty eagle when the hills of heaven call me home. He called her home at 4:15 in the morning on April 22nd. She left her prison of flesh and is now healed and happy in his presence. I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for coming, folks. Appreciate you all here.
Would you join in singing again the other song that is on the program?
Beyond the sunset, oh blissful morning, when with our Savior heaven's begun. Earth's toiling ended, oh glorious dawning, beyond the sunset, when day is done. Beyond the sunset, no clouds will gather, no storms will threaten, no fears annoy. O day of gladness, O day unending, beyond the sunset, eternal joy. Beyond the sunset, O glad reunion, with our dear loved ones who've gone before. In that fair homeland, we'll know no parting. set forevermore.
Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, as John was talking, oh, I don't know about the other folks, but in my heart, I was thinking, what a joy to meet the Lord face to face when we have known heart to heart. What a day. Yes, what a day. We give you thanks. That seems so little to say, but it is enough. Thank you. May all who are here this day, Lord, we ask you, would all that are here this day, even the little ones, be able to hear you say, as you said to Esther, well done, good and faithful. Come on in. Help us to finish well. We give you this day, we give you this minute. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.
As we close, normally I would make my way through the family, shake hands. We're not going to do that. And that's a reminder to each of you. Many of you will probably want to come by and just express love and support. Just practice safe social distancing. Put on your mask if you have one. And the family's going to hang around for a few minutes, and then there's going to be a burial. And you're free to stay. You're free to go. That's up to you. But this has been a good time and such an encouragement. I was thinking as we closed, Esther Scoville belongs in the Hebrews 11 roll call of men and women that are such a great example to us that we run the race as they have. I think the Lord has been glorified in our time, don't you?
Amen.
All God's people said together, amen. Good, you're dismissed. Thank you.